The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. For the next half hour, I will be reading some Thanksgiving stories and a few other ones. So, here we go with our first Thanksgiving story. It's called How to Catch a Turkey, and it is by Adam Wallace and Andy Elkerton. Here we are on Thanksgiving Day. It's that special time of year. Yes, I know I am a turkey. That much should be clear. So gather round, I have a tale, and it's really quite a story. What I tell you now is not a joke, it is my crowning glory. It all began 1 year ago. I was at a school, you see. Play preparations were underway, but that didn't matter to me. Some kids walked by in silly clothes, talking about the play. We'll even have a turkey on stage. It's perfect for Thanksgiving Day. And the kids are dressed up as pilgrims because they're going to do a play about the first Thanksgiving, and the turkey is going to be the turkey that the Indians told them how to use, and that was going to be roasted for their Thanksgiving feast, although that really wasn't going to happen in the play. A turkey on stage? No way, no how. Had I really heard that right? I broke out of my pen and ran away with a bad case of stage fright. The turkey did not want to be on stage. He did not want to be up there in front of a whole school full of kids and teachers and parents. I burst into the science room and knocked over flasks and beakers, and the cry of, "Catch that turkey!" boomed over the loudspeakers. And there the kids were throwing things at the turkey, trying to catch him, but the turkey kept flying. Now, more kid children joined the chase with catapults and food. And there was the lunch lady scooping up mashed potatoes and shooting them at the turkey. A little girl was throwing carrots at him, and someone else threw a hamburger. A little boy had a slingshot and was shooting bananas at the poor turkey. And the turkey just kept running and trying to escape. Up next, there was a maze of books that stretched from wall to wall with a big hop and a mighty flap. I managed to escape it all. I ducked past chairs and bags and desks. Now, that was quite the trick. The kids thought they could stop me here, but I was much too quick, so he ran out of the library. And he ran into a classroom, and the kids started throwing things at him again, trying to catch him, and the turkey jumped out the window. I ran outside to the jungle gym, thinking I could hide. But the recess yard was all tricked out. I'd have better luck inside. So he was running away from the kids who were throwing balls at him now out on the playground and going back into the school. Finally, the kids gave up, but the principal gave chase. My only hope of escaping her was keeping up my pace. And there's the principal running after him with a big net in her hand, so she's planning to catch that turkey in the net. I slid into the coach's room and crashed into a chair. I got tangled up in jerseys, but I won't get stuck in there. And there the poor turkey hits on a big tray load of school jerseys, school t-shirts, it means, and one slipped over the turkey's head, and he could not get out of that. I ran into a curtain. There was nowhere else to go. I couldn't get past the principal, but the curtain led to the show. My heart was racing. I started to sweat. I couldn't squawk or run. I took a deep breath. I can do this. Who knows? It might be fun. And there he is on stage in his school jersey, dancing around. A kid stood up and pointed. Oh my gosh, he is so cute. He really is, a parent agreed. in his little mascot suit. And there's one father taking pictures of the turkey on stage in his school mascot, school jersey. So I started to smile and even dance while the crowd continued to cheer. I was filled with joy that I took the chance. And that's what started my mascot career. And so here's a picture at the end of all the kids and the turkey in his school jersey. And they're all saying, Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Our next story is also about Thanksgiving, and it also takes place in a school. It's called Thanksgiving Day Thanks by Laura Malone Elliott. Thanksgiving is coming, said Sam's teacher, Mrs. Wright. What's one special thing about the holidays that you would give thanks for? Football, shouted Nicole. Sweet potatoes with marshmallows, Jeffrey yelled. Shopping, announced Tiffany. Sam wasn't sure what his one special thing would be. Who knows the story of the very first Thanksgiving? Asked Mrs. Wright. Sam's best friend, Mary Ann, knew. When the Pilgrims came to America, Native Americans showed them how to plant corn and hunt for food. So the Pilgrims invited the Native Americans to a big feast to celebrate their friendship and their first harvest. That's right, said Mrs. Wright. How should we celebrate Thanksgiving in class? We can have our own feast, Jeffrey suggested. We can dress up like Pilgrims and Native Americans, said Mary Ann. Oh, goody, Tiffany clapped her hands. Costumes! Sam didn't have any ideas. He was stuck on figuring out what he was thankful for. Winston's hand shot up. My grandmother makes a turkey out of yarn for Thanksgiving. Ew, squealed Tiffany. You eat yarn turkey? Ew, squealed her friends. No, it's a decoration, Winston said. Before dinner, we write what we are thankful for on a paper feather and stick it into the turkey. That's a great thanks tradition, said Mrs. Wright. Everyone pick one thing you are really thankful for to write on a feather. And I don't mean candy, she added with a smile. Uh-oh, thought Sam. The class came up with all sorts of Thanksgiving projects. Jeffrey organized a pumpkin pie-making contest. Nicole made special placemats. She collected red and orange maple leaves and pressed them between two sheets of wax paper. And what she was doing was she found the leaves and she put them between two sheets of paper, wax paper, and both about the size of a placemat. And then her mom got out the iron, and on really low heat, the mom ironed over this so the two pieces of wax paper stuck together, and then they had pretty placemats with leaves in them. While shopping for a pilgrim outfit, Tiffany learned about a Thanksgiving food drive for the needy, and she donated cans of soup. Winston built a miniature Mayflower, just like the pilgrim ship, from popsicle sticks. Mary Ann made a headband out of white and purple beads to look like the wampum of the Wampanoag tribe. Wampum was beads that the Indians used to use for money because they didn't have money at that time. She also practiced with a bow and arrow until each arrow's rubber suction head stuck to the target's bullseye. She was getting really good at shooting arrows at a target. Meanwhile, Sam was worried. Wooni kisuk, Mary Ann tried to cheer him up. That's how the Wampanoag say, good day. Usually, Sam liked to learn the big words that Mary Ann used, but not this time. There's nothing good about it. I still haven't figured out my project, Sam sighed, or what I'm thankful for. Think about what you enjoy most on Thanksgiving Day. Sam thought and thought. He thought about pumpkins and pumpkin pie and pretty leaves and football and the pilgrims and a beautiful roast turkey. The day of the feast arrived. Tables were heaped with food and autumn decorations. Jeffrey had dressed up as Governor Bradford. He was the governor of the first colony when the pilgrims came to America. Tiffany was Priscilla from Longfellow's poem about pilgrims. And Mary Ann was Squanto. "Where's your project, Mary Ann?" asked Sam. "It's outside. It's a big surprise," he said. The class lined up to write their thanks on the paper turkey feathers. Jeffrey was thankful for turkey stuffing. Winston was thankful for the school janitor being so nice about his flooding the cafeteria when he was testing his Mayflower. Mary Ann was thankful for books. It was almost Sam's turn. All of a sudden, a huge gust of wind rattled the classroom windows. A storm was coming. "Oh, no," Sam cried. "My project!" Sam dashed outside to a tree to untie his surprise. A bunch of enormous balloons. He fought his way through the wind towards the classroom, sticking close to the school building. Another blast of wind whipped the balloons. The frog popped, the turkey broke loose, and the cat flew away. Poor Sam. He had got these huge balloons. One was shaped as a frog, one was a cat, one was a dog, one was a turkey. But then the heavy wind came. "Oh, dear," said Mrs. Wright, as they looked out the window at Sam's balloons flying away from him. Mary Ann grabbed her bows and arrows and the yarn turkey, and she raced outside. Sam was chasing the balloon dog, its string just out of his reach. Mary Ann tied the turkey's yarn to an arrow. She took aim. Zing! The arrow's rubber cup stuck to the dog's long nose, and Mary Ann reeled the dog in. "Yay!" cheered the students. But Sam was sad. "I can't have a parade with only one balloon," he said, "and I still don't know what to write on my feather." Mary Ann thought for a minute. "Your parade was a great idea, Sam. Is there something about the big Thanksgiving parade that you are thankful for?" "Well, my whole family watches it together. We drink hot cocoa and tell stories. Grandpop talks about going to New York for the parade when he was little, and we laugh a lot together." Sam smiled. Now he knew what to put on his feather. And he wrote, "I am thankful for the time with my family." And that's what he put on his feather. Later, Sam wrote another feather and tucked it into Mary Ann's headband. "I am thankful for best friends." And that was because Mary Ann managed to save one of his balloons for him. Our next book is also about a school and school kids, but it is called We Gather Together, Now Please Get Lost. Diane DeGroat was the author. Gilbert was so excited that he tossed and turned all night. Tomorrow, his class was going on a field trip to Pilgrim Town, and Gilbert kept thinking about how much fun it would be. Frank was going to be his buddy for the trip and had promised to bring his checkers for the bus ride. Gilbert finally drifted off to sleep when, bam, something bumped him on the head. Gilbert woke up with a start and fell off the bed. His sister Lola laughed and waved her doll around. "You have to get up," she said. "Well, I am up," Gilbert said, but really, he was down on the floor, stuck between the bed and the wall. Lola tried to bop him again. "Mom says you're late for school." Gilbert had never been late for school, but today he was tired and didn't want to get up. When Gilbert stomped into the kitchen, his socks didn't match, toothpaste was dribbling down his shirt, and his hair was sticking up in the wrong places. "Oh, dear," Mother said when she saw him. "It looks like you got up on the wrong side of the bed today." She handed him his lunch bag as he hurried out the door. Gilbert had missed breakfast, and his stomach growled all the way to school. When he got to his classroom, Mrs. Bird had already marked him absent. She erased the X next to his name and said, "You should be thankful that we didn't leave without you, Gilbert." Gilbert wasn't so thankful when he saw that everyone had already picked their partners for the trip. The only person left without a buddy was Philip. Philip always was the last one to get picked for anything. Poor Philip. He couldn't catch a ball or run fast. He was also a big tattletale. And now he was Gilbert's buddy. When the bus started down the road, Gilbert looked around. Frank and Kenny were playing checkers. Lewis and Sam read a comic book together. Gilbert and Philip just sat. Gilbert's stomach growled again. He opened up his lunch bag, but Philip said, "I'm telling the teacher that you're eating on the bus." And Gilbert closed the bag. Finally, Mrs. Bird said, "Now, class, we're almost there. At Pilgrim Town, we will see how the early settlers lived. They were thankful that they got through a hard winter and celebrated their first harvest with a Thanksgiving feast. Today, for our visit, I want you to think about all the things that you can be thankful for, too." Patty raised her hand and said, "I'm thankful that no one threw up on the bus." Lewis shouted, "I'm thankful that we didn't have to do spelling today." Everyone laughed, except Mrs. Bird and Philip, who was the best speller in the whole class. Gilbert just slouched down in his seat and said, "I'm thankful that we're almost there." When the bus pulled into the parking lot, Mrs. Bird said, "Remember now, stay with your buddy at all times so no one will get lost." Two by two, they walked through the village where people in costumes talked about how the pilgrims had lived. As they headed towards the blacksmith shop, Gilbert ran to catch up with Frank and Kenny. Philip ran after him, calling, "Hey, wait for me!" Frank said, "Too bad we can't be triple buddies, Gilbert, but you have to stay with Philip today." When Philip caught up, he said, "Don't walk so fast, Gilbert. Mrs. Bird wants us to stick together." So Gilbert walked really, really slowly. Philip pulled at his sleeve and said, "Hurry up, Gilbert." At the hay barn, Gilbert hid behind a group of older kids, but Philip found it. "Stop it, Gilbert," he whined. "I'm telling Mrs. Bird that you're fooling around." "You're a big tattletale," Gilbert said. "Why don't you just get lost?" "I'm telling Mrs. Bird that you called me a tattletale," Philip said. On the way to the picnic area, Gilbert slipped into the restroom when Philip wasn't looking and locked the door behind him. Now Philip would never find him. Gilbert waited a few minutes and then went to unlock the door. But the lock wouldn't turn. He tried again, but it was stuck. He banged on the door, yelling, "Hey, Philip, I'm in here." Philip didn't answer. Gilbert banged on the door again. "Is anyone out there?" he shouted. No one answered. Uh-oh, Gilbert thought. If Philip didn't see him go into the bathroom, no one would know he was in there. Or worse, Philip might not even tell anyone that Gilbert was missing. Or that's what Gilbert would do if he were Philip. The class would leave without him, and Gilbert would have to spend the night alone, there, in the bathroom, in the dark. Suddenly the doorknob jiggled. "Is somebody there?" Gilbert shouted. It was Philip. "Gilbert," he said, "I've been looking all over for you." "I can't get out," Gilbert said. "The lock is stuck." "Hold on," Philip said. "I'll get help." After a few minutes, a guide came with the key. When Gilbert finally got out, he saw Philip, but not the rest of his class. "Uh-oh," he cried. "We lost our class." The guide smiled and said, Then we better check the lost and found. As they walked to the visitor center, Gilbert knew he was going to be in big trouble. And Philip was too, all because of him. Gilbert waited anxiously with Philip at the lost child corner until the class appeared. But Mrs. Bird wasn't mad. She said, "There you are. I'm so glad we found you." Lewis wasn't so glad. He said, "We could have been eating lunch already, but we had to come looking for you and Philip." Gilbert said, "It's not Philip's fault. I was hiding from him and got locked in the restroom, but he found me and got help." Patty said, "Oh, Gilbert, you weren't being a very good buddy." And Frank said, "I'm glad Gilbert wasn't my buddy." But Mrs. Bird said, "Let's just be happy that we are all safely here together." To celebrate, she bought some pies and pilgrim hats and led the class outside to a picnic table. When they were all seated, she said, "Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. What are some of the things we should be thankful for?" See, this teacher is wondering what the kids were thankful for, too, for Thanksgiving, just like the teacher in our first book this morning. "Pumpkin pie," Lewis said, helping himself to a piece. "Thanks for getting lost, Gilbert," Patty said. "I'm so thankful that we don't have to live like the pilgrims did. They didn't have TV. Or comic books," Sam added. They went around the table. When it was Gilbert's turn, he thought for a minute and said, "I'm thankful that I didn't have to spend Thanksgiving locked in a bathroom." "Thanks, Philip." Everyone shouted, "Yay, Philip." And Philip turned red and said, "Well, that's what buddies are for." On the walk back to the bus, Gilbert stayed close to Philip. Very close. On the bus, Gilbert borrowed Frank's checkers, and he and Philip played 5 games. And Philip won every single game. And that is the end of that book. Our next book is called Hush, Little Bunny by David Ezra Stein. And it's about a father bunny and a little baby bunny. And the father says, "Come, little bunny, don't be shy. It's time to tell the snow goodbye." "Hush, little bunny, don't you cry. Papa's going to give you the big blue sky." And this is a poem about winter ending and spring coming. "And if that big blue sky clouds over, Papa's going to give you a patch of clover. And when the patch of clover is done, I'll give you a meadow where you can run. And if a hawk comes gliding down, I'll show you a nest safe underground. And when that hiding place gets tight, I'll take you back up into the light." Now there's beautiful green grass out there and flowers on the trees. "And if the afternoon brings showers, we'll stay by a tree that's hung with flowers. And when those flowers blow away, we'll find some other bunnies and play. And if those bunnies don't play fair, I'll growl at them just like a bear. Hush, little bunny, don't you cry. Papa's going to show you a firefly." Oh, I love fireflies. They're so pretty. "And if that firefly takes wings, I'll show you where the blackbird sings. And when the sun is sinking fast, we'll tunnel softly through the grass. Come, little bunny, come what may, I'll watch you grow from day to day. And when the spring has come and gone, I'm still going to love you all year long." And that's the end of that book. And the author of that book, on this little thing at the back that says, tells you a little bit about the author, it says he lives in New York City with his two children, and a bunny named Bun Bun. So he knows all about bunnies. Now, we have a few minutes left, and we're going to read some poems from our Please and Thank You book, a book about manners and about animals who have some who have good manners and other animals that have very bad manners. And this one is about playing games and being fair to the other kids. It's called Fair and Square, says the hare. Play fair, says the hare, in all that you do. Take only the turn that's coming to you. Never cheat, never sneak. When playing cards, never peek. Don't run before the count of three, and if you lose, lose gracefully. Hey, now I see you laughing and grinning. I guess you played fair and ended up winning. And okay, and our next poem is called Smile, Crocodile. How sad, Claude Crocodile. He never greets anyone with a smile. His mood is always gloomy and gray. No wonder his friends go the opposite way. There's poor old Claude Crocodile walking to school, and all of his friends are hurrying away from him because he's just no fun to be with. He's always gloomy. And this one is called Be Glad You're You. The leopard is proud of her spotted coat, the nightingale of his song. The elephant's glad she has a trunk, and the lion's glad he's strong. They all agree, I'm glad I'm me. No one's more fun or nicer to be. And is that true about you? Are you nice and do your friends like to be with you? And this poem? Bears share their toys. Bears share their honey. Bears share a joke they think is funny. Whatever they do, whatever they wear, they share it with another bear. And that poem was called Bears Always Share. And this one is called Watch Out for Wanda Warthog. When Wanda Warthog comes over, beware. She leaves a trail everywhere. There's ink on the sofa and gum on the cat. Modeling clay ground into the mat. Her dirty fingerprints streak the wall. Modeling She's broken her best friend's favorite doll. Uh-oh. Oops. There goes her dish of raspberry ice. That's why poor Wanda is never asked twice. Poor Wanda. All she needs is some good manners and being careful with her friend's toys. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I'm sorry. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-5138.